Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here. Getaway Friday night, May the 22nd, 2026. 11 and a half minutes past the hour. It's a real Getaway Friday. It is Memorial Day weekend, and Matt Morgan's live with me in studio. Does not feel like Memorial Day weekend at all. When I get ready to come back in here tonight, I thought it's Memorial Day weekend. It's pouring rain. The heat had just kicked on in my house, and I think I have it set at like something like 72, so it is not warm outside. This is not and does not feel like a Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, it's been rather cold, and it's rained like every day.
It is 60 degrees right now and raining. That is not Memorial Day. That is not cookout. That is not go to the cemeteries and decorate your tombstones. That's a whole different bit. So, not the greatest.
Well, you know, I think that, I don't know, people will probably do it anyways.
Well, it depend on how it is Sunday and Monday. That's usually when those things happen.
I would figure so long as it's not pouring down rain, it should go pretty smoothly.
Well, let's hope. But it rains every day. No matter what it says, it rains every day.
Yep.
It can say no rain, you're still going to get rain. So what's coming up on your show tonight?
Tonight on my show, we're going to be talking about, well, politics first, and then sports if I get to it. I think, you know, a lot of just... Cuba, we're going to talk about Cuba a bit, talk about Thomas Massie, you know, talk about...
Who lost.
Yes, he lost.
Well, here's some interesting stories that we have not done. Former Saturday Night Live star Heidi Gardner said she knew she had made it in her career when she was seated next to Harry Potter star Daniel Radcliffe. That's when she knew she had made it.
Is she the one who played Harry Potter?
Yeah, I believe he was Harry Potter.
Okay.
Okay, so... When did you, what is an event in your mind where you thought, I'm doing pretty good or I've made it?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty cool that, I mean, through the radio station, I mean, I've had the chance to meet a lot of politicians. That's always cool. I like to meet politicians.
They love it here.
Four governors.
Four?
Four governors.
Really?
Taft.
Right.
Strickland.
Right.
Celeste.
Right.
And DeWine. Met
oh,
with
that's right.
Little Brown Jug.
That's right. Four governors in person. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
It's pretty cool.
So that was the moment. Well, I'm talking about a specific moment. Was there a specific moment where something happened or you met somebody in particular that you... Hers is Daniel Radcliffe. Now, she'd been on SNL, so obviously she'd had a career going, but it was Daniel Radcliffe to her that was
meaningful.
Like
a specific moment.
Or a person, I guess.
Maybe meeting Lonnie Ali at the Hall of Fame.
That was a good... And that picture we don't have on the wall.
I know.
Muhammad Ali's wife.
Got a whole interview with... Carrington got a whole interview with Muhammad Ali's wife, and we'll never hear it.
Has never been heard anywhere. But we had dinner with her.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a fun night.
I think so.
So that's the moment.
It was good, yeah. It was probably...
See, I would not have thought that would have been the moment, but that's a good one.
Well, I mean, I couldn't... I don't know. I mean,
well, that's an interesting one.
I like boxing, and I like the combat sports in general. And then we, you know, Muhammad Ali, I was like, you know, I mean, that's, you know.
Well, that was a good moment.
Yeah.
And that's a nice picture, too. We're all dressed up that night, because that's right before the Hall of Fame ceremony.
I didn't have a sports coat at that time. I have a sports coat.
No, I'm in
now.
A tuxedo. Carrington's got her evening gown on.
Yep.
And so does Mrs. Ali. So we were looking good. Snappy yeah. picture. Yeah, I haven't seen that for a while. Anyway, so yeah, that's a good moment. Now, let's see. I'm trying to think of a moment. I don't know. There have been a lot of moments. I don't know. It's an interesting thing, though. If anybody has a moment where they thought, that, well, in your career, when did you know you'd made it? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
I might do a whole career change. I might go work, like, No, there's a whole lot of traveling involved, but you can just kind of, like, go travel around and, like, set up stages.
You know, people think they like that work. I've heard people who've done that work. I'm not sure that that's all that great. I think you find out how awful people can be.
Well, I mean, sure. I mean, I'm not doubting that. I like concerts. I like music. Can you imagine doing that every day? That'd be fantastic.
Well, you think that.
I'd probably end up deaf.
Well, you think that until it actually happens, and you got to run like drunks out, and they want to fight you, and it's a whole thing. Every day, I think I'd be tired of that.
Like I was talking to a guy whose nephew works at he worked stage two at Sonic Temple, and he set up a whole bunch of bands, and he said that once Sonic Temple was all shut down, he went to I don't remember exactly where, but another music festival, so he could do basically the same thing over there. So it's just music festival to music festival to concert to music festival.
Well, there you go. Let's see here. What's another story that is interesting? Well, this is one we haven't talked about. Luigi Mangione, you know, the guy who killed the healthcare man.
That's good stuff.
Apparently fans of his.
Oh, he's got fans.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice.
Have been granted press credentials. But now those press credentials are being looked at, and some of them being revoked, because they're not really press. They're just fans, more or less. They don't follow the rules of journalism, and they're misinforming people. Now, see, this is a big can of worms, because, people... Here's the problem. People want to talk about... Okay, I do not think... that people who are bloggers and podcasters and all that. See, I don't think that their press credentials should be taken away because I think they reach a large audience and I think they do well. The problem is that a lot of those people are not trained in journalism and there is and are no guardrails for them. So I think... you should be disqualified if you have no credentials. I think that's the problem. I think people are trying to base this on your media form when really they should be basing it on your credentials.
So I'm confused. I thought they were letting in like people who were just like making Facebook posts basically or like tweets.
Well, it could be. I don't know, but I think they are media by the fact that they do something on a regular basis. So I'm not going to say they're not media, but they're misinforming people. They're not living by the rules of journalism.
Well, misinforming people is never good.
See, that's the only real difference between being on the radio, on the television, and in the newspaper is that you're probably you have a higher chance of being sued. Because there are rules in those media. You know, FCC rules television and radio, as Stephen Colbert found out, and many newspapers get hit with libel suits. So, if you're on the internet, that doesn't happen. And I think you can pretty much do and say what you want, and you don't live up to journalism standards. Everybody thinks they're a journalist. That's not true. You can do a show... You know, Ed Sullivan was not a journalist.
Okay.
I think he was a sports journalist at one point. But when he was hosting the variety show there, you know, Here Are the Beatles, he's not Walter Cronkite. There's a difference between Walter Cronkite and Ed Sullivan. Just because you have a show doesn't mean you're a journalist. And I think that's what we have to start looking at press credentials in regard to. I think they should look at your show and see what you're doing. And then base it on that.
I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't know why they would give, like, I don't know why they would give the press passes or whatever to them if they. I mean, I don't.
Because right now, if you apply for a press pass,
they just give it to you.
Well, no. No, I think a lot of people are more judicious, but I think what happened in this case is it's such a high-profile case, they want as many people covering it as possible, so they granted a lot of press passes. And now they're finding out that people are trying to make him look sympathetic because they're actually fans of his. They're not really living by the rules of journalism.
Oh, because, like, so they just, how do you make this man sympathetic? He, like, stalked a dude around New York and shot him in the back of the head.
Because people hate people with money. They hate CEOs.
No, I also do not like the 1% or whatever you want to call them. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, I don't like billionaires. That's why I, like, it's just, you know. But, like, I mean, I wouldn't, like, stalk one around and shoot him in the back of the head. That's a whole other thing.
When you're watching a podcast or whatever, can you say your favorite app is YouTube?
Probably.
When you're watching that, you don't know, like, 5 minutes in whether this is a real deal show or if this is just some kind of fly-by-night.
I don't watch a lot of news on YouTube because there is a lot of misinformation. I don't know. Like, if you watch news on YouTube, a lot of the times, like, I like to go and look at the sources. And 9 out of 10 times, they're not citing sources. And if they do cite their sources, I'll go over, look at the article, and it'll, like, they're just, like, it doesn't even support what they're talking about.
Well, I never got to this earlier, but I said I was going to talk about this earlier, but I never did. But I came to this realization earlier, because I was trying to think, about the media landscape today and why things are the way they are. And here's the best thing I could come up with. Okay, there was a time, if you're old enough, when all there was newspapers, television, and radio prior to the internet. Newspapers, television, radio. That's the way you got into journalism or entertainment or whatever it was. And for I was thinking this from the radio aspect. If you were in Marion, Ohio, and you were on the radio prior to 2010, okay? You were on a radio station. And most people in your city wanted to listen to that radio station because it had local content. If you were going to get school delays, you got them on the radio. If you were going to get weather reports, you got them on the radio. If you were going to get local news, you got it on the radio. So you listened to a local station. But here was the difference. Okay, like the station I worked for, every morning was local, but at noon, Rush Limbaugh came on. And then Sean Hannity would come on. And then Larry King would come on. You know, the rest of the day were national shows, but whether the listener knew that or not, it didn't matter. They saw you as the same as them because you were all on the same medium. You were on the same dial. They didn't switch it in their car or their house or whatever it was. So you were seen on the same level as those people. So you would get the rub no matter what because you would have, let's say, somebody local. Madge Cooper in the morning, and Madge Cooper would go, well, what comes on after Madge Cooper? Rush Limbaugh. So it was the same thing. There was an equivalency in your brain to those people. So Madge was as big as Rush to you because they were on the same medium. Okay, well, you don't have that anymore because people aren't that consistent. So now to get a rub, the only way you can really do that is through guests. So it's a different ballgame. I remember when I used to host the morning program on WMRN, in the morning we would have commercials for Rush Limbaugh. So, you know, he would be on your show in a way. It's different. Now, you've almost got to do it by, you would have to have Rush Limbaugh on your show to get that type of a rub that day provided. So that's the realization I've come to now in journalism. If you're only interviewing local people, not that there's anything wrong with that, but if you're only interviewing local people and you're doing a personality-driven show and all you are is a local personality, you're probably not going to be seen in the same light as those people were in those days, like Madge, because she got the rub by just being on the same network as those big names. But you don't have that now.
Well, I think that, like, Clear Channel Is iHeart and Clear Channel the same thing?
Yep, they were Clear Channel when I started.
Well, iHeart owns it all now.
But it used to be the local person was just who was on before the national person. You didn't think of them as different people. And the local person was probably a bigger star to you because that was who was giving you the local weather, the local news, and the school delays.
Do they not still do that?
Not really. I mean, I remember doing them. God, I almost remember the spiel. School delays and cancellations are brought to you by Ohio Health. Their work is your care.
That's good stuff.
Yep. And then you, today's school delays and cancellations are blah, 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 blah.
I like it.
I don't remember, it was like a memo that was taped to the board.
Did they just do like 24 hours back then?
24 hours of what?
Like live, because apparently nobody taped anything. So if you were going to have a radio station,
oh, yeah,
that went 24 hours, you had somebody there doing a show 24 hours.
No. No, that's why you had the satellite. So it would kick in Rush Limbaugh at noon. Nobody was in the building when Rush Limbaugh was on.
Okay.
Or it would kick in an Indians game. You know, the satellite would pick up whatever network you were on is what channel the satellite would pick up. And the system, you could time it. Like, I remember, now see, I don't know if I've told this on the air, but I'll tell it now. Here's a little story for you. We used to have to call in transmitter readings. Now, this is ridiculous. But what you had to do when you got off the air at noon every day was you had to dial this phone number. And it was the most complicated system in the world. You had to dial a phone number and then dial in your station coordinates. And then you had to dial in your passcode. And then you would get the output that your transmitter was putting out at that moment. Because this was for the FCC guy. He was going to check this log, the transmitter log, if he ever came to town. So on that piece of paper, you would have to write down the time that you called, the transmitter output, and then sign your name. Well, this thing was so complicated, I never did it. So what I would do is when I would look at what the day before was, whoever did it the day before, and I would write down the same thing. Because I figured that if the FCC guy came 10 minutes later, I would just say, well, it must have changed in the last 10 minutes. I don't know. It was that when I called. I thought that was ridiculous. Yeah. I could never figure it out.
You're going to get MRN in trouble.
Oh, no, they're fine. But, you know, I never called them in. I that was such a complicated, weird system. I wasn't doing that. And if you looked at the paper, they never changed anyway. Unless you had some problem, the transmitter reading never changed.
Oh, well then, yeah, I might also do the same thing.
So I'm going to call this number every day?
I thought there was going to be like a difference every day, a different number.
Like a point. It would be like 1,000.7, 1,000.4, 1,000.3, you know, 999.8.
You can just make one up at that point.
That's what I did. I got close to the number. You know, whatever it was the day before, I would add a point two.
That's good.
I thought that was the dumbest thing in the world, transmitter readings.
Nobody came to look at it?
Well, they might have.
Well, apparently it worked out pretty well.
How are you going to check?
I don't know how you would check that. I mean, maybe they can, like, go back and look. I don't know.
No, but so there's a little story from the career.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
But that's what happened. In any event, but that's why media is different now. You can't do that anymore. You know, I believe that's probably why a lot of these people were very well known, is because they just happened to be on during the spiel of the day. You know, Aliens went off in the morning and you came on. But Aliens were a national show. What was his name? George Norrie. George Norrie or Art Bell. I think they both hosted that show. They would go off at like
they
5.
Just talk about aliens?
Yeah, all night long.
That's so good. That's good.
But it was a national show. So they would go off and then you would come on. And then when you went off, Rush Limbaugh came on.
Are either of those people still around?
Who?
Art Bell and the other
fellow? Art Bell's dead. I think George Norrie's still on.
Still talking about aliens?
Overnight. Just tune it in. Tune in WMRN. You'll hear all the aliens and the close encounter. Every night they fill this. 5 days a week.
Still?
I just think there are that many lunatics in the world.
Yeah, but still?
Oh, yeah. The last I checked.
That's crazy.
No, people lived and died by that program.
I've heard of Art Bell before.
Art Bell's dead. He was the original host of that.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I can't remember what the name of that show was. Overnight or something. Can't remember what the name of the show was. But, whatever.
I could get behind aliens. I don't think that they're, like, necessarily, like flying around on UFOs and all that good stuff.
People, and you would listen to some of those calls, because you got there, you know, maybe 45 minutes before the show started to read the teletype and check the fax machine and check the wire and all that, and that's what we'd be playing through the building, would be that alien show.
He might be going crazy right now with the release of those UFO files.
They did expand, because then they would get into things like the Kennedy assassination, and they would get...
Oh, so this is like a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, but it was mainly aliens. I mean, that was mainly what they were talking about. People who'd been on the spaceship. But they did take the calls from conspiracy theories and all that. And it was kind of like a hushed tone, because it's the middle of the night. And you're like, oh, well, what was going on when that alien came? You know, everybody's hush, hush. It's a very weird show, but...
I gotta watch it, or listen to it, I guess.
Let's tune it in tonight. I'm sure it'll be on.
What time do they run?
I think it was midnight. It would come on at 11 or midnight.
Oh, I'm up at midnight.
You tune it in, 1490, you'll hear it.
Oh, it's an AM.
It's an AM.
I used to listen to what was it, 410 maybe 610, I don't remember. I used to listen to some AM radio out of Columbus, and it was the most like conservative talk show you'd ever listen to. I just thought it was kind of funny.
Well, because we used to have
terrible quality, like.
Well, Larry King used to be on overnight, and that was an okay show. It was a talk show. Larry did, was it 5 hours?
Larry King.
He ended up on television.
Yeah, but isn't he still doing his stuff?
Oh, he's dead.
Oh, well, didn't he?
But he moved to the internet.
Wasn't he doing it up until, like, he died?
Yeah, he went to the internet. And so he transitioned all three. But he...
Well, that's what up, he evolved.
Yeah, but he was on... his show was 5 hours every night, and he would have a guest on... How did his show used to work?
5 hours is crazy.
Yeah, but he had a format. Now, the first hour would be a guest, and he would interview the guest. And then the second hour would be callers asking the guest questions. And then third, fourth, and fifth hours, what's called Open Phone America, and he would just take phone calls about anything. And that's, I think, how the show ran.
I like Open Phone America. That's a...
Yeah, that's what he did.
I'm going to steal that name. Pick a...
Well, but he was on all over America, so people were calling... That's what I say. Even though you thought of him as a local show, but he was on everywhere. So he's taking calls from all 50 states.
We'll just throw in Ohio in place of America and call it a day.
But it's hard when you're only playing to Ohio to fill 3 hours every night. But if you're playing to, you know, the entire United States, that's a little different.
Yeah.
They always would announce his name, though. He had this, it was a taped announcement, I'm sure. But the announcer would come on and go, "You're listening to the Larry King Show. And here's Larry." And they'd come in, "Hey, blah, 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 blah." And they were, "And now, Larry." It just every time they went.
That reminds me of I've been watching the Johnny Carson recently on Tubi, and
he was good.
And like,
by the way, fun fact: Johnny Carson signed off the Tonight Show on this date, May 22nd, in 1992. So 34 years ago today, Johnny Carson signed off.
Wasn't that sad?
Well, no, it was 30 years. Long time to do that show.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I like Johnny Carson.
That was like a national holiday. I remember that. It was. Johnny Carson was the biggest thing in late night, maybe the biggest thing in television. And him going off the air, it was in every newspaper. It was, remember, there was no internet in those days. So it was, you know, cable was in its infancy. He was it. And he had been there since 1963. And he signed off. And, oh, my God. That whole week, there was nothing. Because every night, there was something big. And he did something that was kind of brilliant. Then you can get back to your Johnny Carson. But the night before he signed off, he decided on his last show, he was not going to have any guests. He was just going to play clips and show people who had died, who'd been on his show, and then he'd give a little speech at the end. He was not going to do a real show like he did. So the night before was his last normal show. And he had Robin Williams and Bette Midler on. And Robin Williams was a huge movie star at that time and came out and did hilarious things like he always did. And Bette Midler came out and sang to Johnny Carson. And, that show was so good. The next night, it was like, gosh, now he's leaving.
Why did they all have, like, such simple, like, intros to the show?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, now, I don't know if I can think of, like, the actual intro to Johnny, but, like, every time he'd come back from, like, commercial, just be like, here's Johnny. Why don't they just have him at, like, the desk? You could literally just cut to him at the desk at that point.
Well, that was pretty famous in and of itself.
From, that one movie, I can't think of it.
You know the guy who does Here's Johnny, Ed McMahon?
What about him?
I interviewed him.
Well, that's pretty good.
A couple times.
He's fun. Johnny Carson's funny.
Johnny Carson was a good show.
I don't know exactly who he had on, but somebody from a zoo or something like that, because they had a bunch of animals, and a couple of the animals were, like, cheetahs, and he was, like, trying to, like, I don't know, talk to the cheetahs, and one of them, like, hissed at him and smacked the cage, and he jumped, like, 2 foot in the air, and then ran and jumped in whoever's arms it was. It was good stuff.
Well, the other thing that she did was she wrote a poem and sang it to him. And now, let's go back. We'll go back. 34 years ago tonight, this is Bette Midler doing her poem for Johnny Carson. You know what? Let me find this version. I think it's a little bit better. That's a little blurry of a version there. Let's go back. This was May 21st, so this would have been the night before her last... is that right? Yeah, the night before. Am I right about this? Okay, let's see here. Let's hope this is right.
Song?
Well, we need to mute that. You know, some things are easier than others. Talk about Johnny Carson for a minute.
I mean, I didn't watch a whole lot of Johnny Carson, but I've seen a couple of his shows now. He's funny. I like the Johnny Carson show. Good stuff.
Okay, here it is. This is the night before the last show. Bette Midler is the guest, and this is how it went. On Johnny Carson.
Oh my gosh, as I was saying.
Yeah, as you were saying.
I was so fatutzed. I was so freaked out that I wasn't going to get everything out that I wanted to say to Mr. Carson on this most auspicious occasion that I sat down the other day and I tried to make some coherent sense out of my thoughts. Because this is important to me, and I have a lot to say, and I know that most women in America wish they had this opportunity to tell you how they feel about you. So I wrote a little letter, and I would you mind dreadfully if I sang it to you?
I think it'd be right on you.
Okay. They think I don't have it written. It is written. Dear Mr. Carson, I am writing this to you, and I hope that you will read it so you'll know my heart goes pitter-patter, and I stutter and I stammer every time I see you on your TV show. I guess I'm just another fan of yours, and I thought I'd write and tell you so. Oh. I thought that was pretty sweet, guys. You made me watch you. I didn't want to do it. Jack Parr had put me through it. You made me watch you. I love the jokes you're flogging when you are monologuing. I watched your hair turn slowly
from dark to white. And when I can't sleep, I count your wives at night. I love you, babe. I drop my drawers for the kind of bucks you're making for simple double taking. Before you bid adieu, don't be cheap. Put your Cordova to sleep. Just the thought you're leaving me gives me the shivers. Arsenio is at the gate and so's Joan Rivers. You know they made me watch you. Just that when I heard that you were leaving, well, it kind of broke my heart. I mean, I can't tell you how many nights I've laid in bed watching you, thinking to myself, should I change the color of my toenail polish? You know, Johnny, I gotta tell you, you're the greatest straight man that ever walked the earth. And I've known my share of straight men. I gotta ask you, though, Johnny, what are you gonna do with all that free time? I mean, Wimbledon only comes. It's only 1 week a year. And did you ever really stop to consider what would become of Ed? Not to mention Doc.
And the band.
Well, maybe I'm just being selfish, because after all, my life is going to change the most. I mean, how am I going to get by without you?
You sexy thing.
Your charm, your wit, your talent, your civility, and all your fabulous, fabulous guests. How I'll miss the social intercourse so very. Now I have to have it with the guy I marry. You know I'd rather watch you.
Bette Midler on Johnny Carson.
That's good.
That's a good one, isn't it?
I like it.
You know, they went along a little bit, and then there was this moment that happened just a few moments later, which was, you know, again.
Oh, this is fun.
I heard that your favorite song was Here's That Rainy Day.
Rainy Day, and yeah. I'll Be Seeing You, both of those.
Well, I'll Be Seeing You.
No, they're both war songs, I think.
Yes, you know, they are both war songs. But somebody already sang I'll Be Seeing You, that's right.
Well, you can't
sing a chorus of Maybe I Should Have Saved Those Leftover Dreams. Funny, but here's that rainy day.
Here's that rainy day they told me about. And I laughed at the thought that it might turn out this way. Where is that worn out wish that I threw aside after you brought my love so near? Funny how love becomes a cold, rainy day. Funny that rainy day is here.
Very nice.
I agree.
You know, that's how you got to sign off. We just talked about Colbert signing off last night. You know, I'm trying to remember how she ended that show. We'll just turn this into a thing now. But, I think she sang a song at the end of that show.
Bette Midler?
Yeah, well, she said goodbye that night. Bette Midler? She's still around. Doing this and that.
Well, that's good.
As far as I know. Oh, here it is.
What's Johnny Carson up to now? Just retired? Just chilling?
Dead.
Oh!
Yeah. That's why you don't see him around anymore. He's dead.
Well, I didn't think you saw him a whole lot before that, I guess.
No, no, when he retired, he retired. He knew how. He knew how to say goodbye to everybody.
Well, that's good, I guess. That's
yeah. He's been dead for about 21 years or something.
Oh,
like
maybe
that.
That's why I done. That's maybe that's why I never saw him.
Yeah, yeah. He's not around.
He's been dead about as long as I've been around.
Only the reruns. But, yeah, no, here is how that show ended that night, the night before.
Here's Bette Midler.
Last fool, Mr. Carson, will have to suffer gladly. You are the wind beneath my wings. Oh, well, he is. Quarter to three. There's no one in the place except you and me. So set him up, Joe. Got a little story I think you should know. We're drinking, my friend, to the end of a sweet episode. Make it one for my baby and one more for the road. Got the routine, so drop another nickel. So bad, wish you'd make the music so dreamy and sad. You could tell me a lot, but it's not in a gentleman's code. Let's make it one for my baby and one more for the road. You may not know it, but buddy, you're a kind of poet, and you've had a lot of things to say. And when I'm gloomy, you always listen to me until it's told. Well, that's how it goes. And John, I know you're getting anxious to close. So thanks for the cheer. I hope you didn't mind me bending. For all of the years, for the laughs, for the tears, for the class that you showed, make it one for my baby and one more for the road.
And that was not even the last show. That was just the show before the last show. See, that's something. See, but that became a good form of how to do a last show. She's known for that now, singing people off.
Well, that's how you do it, I guess.
Now, his goodbye 34 years ago on this night was much more simple. This is actually his goodbye. This is, yeah. 34 years ago tonight.
You can't say more to come if there's not more to come.
Well, this was the end. This was what was more to come.
And so it has come to this. I'm one of the lucky people in the world. I found something I always wanted to do, and I have enjoyed every single minute of it. I want to thank the gentleman who shared this stage with me for 30 years, Mr. Ed McMahon.
Mr. Doc Severinsen.
And you people watching, I can only tell you that it has been an honor and a privilege to come into your homes all these years and entertain you. And I hope when I find something that I want to do and I think you will like and come back that you'll be as gracious inviting me into your home as you have been. I bid you a very heartfelt good night.
People were sad to see him go. That's probably his wife. But that was Johnny Carson. The goodbye.
Why did he retire? He just felt it was time.
30 years. Good Lord.
Yeah, but I don't know. Larry King did it forever.
See, and look, we all look at him and say, God, the last couple years there, Larry, you were getting a little rough. See, that's what you don't want.
Well, I never saw him in his prime, I guess. So, I mean, I don't know. He's been about...
So, you only saw him hunchback and...
Looking at cards.
Half dead?
Yeah, and he read all of his questions off of, like, cue cards. Like, I don't know. They're more like index cards.
You know, this is interesting. Because she was known for that, she actually sang to... The only other person I ever saw her sing to was Barbara Walters. And it wasn't even a full... it wasn't Barbara Walters' last show. But, this was near the end of the Barbara Walters run on The View. I think it was the week before. I think she even talks about Carson here.
Yes, I have Rolexes. I have a Rolex. I have a Timex. I have an Audemars Piguet. I have a Cartier. I have an Hermes. And if you don't like any of them, you can return them to Canal Street, okay?
Well, I have to say that you said goodbye to Johnny Carson.
Yes, I did.
When he retired, and now you're doing it for me.
Yes, yes. So I feel like a bouncer. I thought I was a performer. I feel like a bouncer. Oh, get her. Let's get her. She'll give you a send. She'll give you a send-off.
You sang to him, though. You sang One for the Road.
I did. You know. I did. It was one of the greatest moments of my life. And I didn't expect it to be what it was. It's turned out to be something extraordinary. Yeah, I mean, people, I think I did for people what they wanted to do for him themselves.
Yes. I don't expect you to sing.
I know you don't. And I won't be singing. Well, maybe if I'm big. So evil. After all the times you've made me cry, I don't know if you actually deserve a song.
But try.
You know, but try. Okay, what do you want to hear?
Anything you do is fine with me.
All right. Okay, here we go. I have not warmed up, so I may sing. Have a couple of climbs. What should we sing? You gotta give a little, take a little, and let your poor heart break a little. That's the story of, that's the glory of love. That's one verse. You want another chorus?
Yeah. Yes.
You wanna laugh a little, cry a little, until the clouds roll by a little. That's the story of, that's the glory of love. Do you know it? Come on and help me sing the bridge. As long as there's the two of us, we got the world and all its charms. And when the world is through with us, we've got each other's arms. You gotta win a little, lose a little, and always have the blues a little.
Go ahead, girl.
that's the story of, that's the glory of love. That's the story of, that's the glory of love. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
She pulled the Tom Cruise and was jumping up and down on the couch.
Yeah, no, that became his thing. What a thing to be known for. So she sang. Now, see, you got to have somebody sing you off now. That's become a thing since Johnny Carson.
Who's going to sing you off?
I don't know.
you got to get somebody.
Hit the road. You know what I would want? Johnny Paycheck. Take this job and shove it. No, you gotta have some kind of sentimental song.
I think that's good.
What?
Take the job.
No. That you gotta have sentimentality on the
last
night.
Obviously, you liked it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done it.
Well, you know.
For so long.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you young pups, you remember this. When you're 60 years old, you think of me. How it seemed just like yesterday, Johnny Carson and all that stuff was on.
Did you enjoy that?
Not how old I am, you know.
Did you enjoy that? Those clips?
Oh, yeah, that brought back a lot of memories.
Johnny Carson was a whole different thing, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He was a big...
Everybody's, you know, tried to resemble, you know, Johnny Carson because he was the original.
Well, I don't think people remember the... I mean, he was on from 1963 to 1992. I mean, that covers...
I was 2 years old when he came on.
I mean, that covers the JFK assassination, the Bobby Kennedy assassination, the Martin Luther King assassination, Watergate.
When did he retire?
92.
Walter Cronkite was still on then?
No, Cronkite retired in the early 80s. I think Carson lasted them all. Now, the longest person...
Cronkite was on back in that day, you know.
Yeah, Cronkite was on in that era, but...
You probably can't remember Cronkite.
I remember Cronkite. No, I remember. Oh, yeah, I remember Cronkite. But Carson was on during it all, and he was always number one. All 30 years, he was number one. So everybody watched that man.
And he was so funny when they would bring animals. This guy from the...
Jim Fowler.
Yeah, Jim Fowler.
I interviewed Jim Fowler. Jim Fowler used to come on with me.
You talked to Jim Fowler?
I met Jim Fowler when I was in New York. He came on my show when I was in New York.
Oh, wow.
He drove in from Connecticut.
New York?
Huh?
Or when you guys went to New York.
Yeah, when we went to New York in 2017, he drove in from Connecticut and was on my show from the Wellington Hotel. We talked about Carson during that interview.
Is he still alive?
No, he's dead now. Like everybody else. That's why I gotta retire soon, because everybody's dead.
When you get older, that's what you get used to. You don't really never get used to it. Everybody you know is dead.
You know what's sad? Everybody.
Relatives.
Yeah, but you know what? Everybody from that 2017 New York trip, everybody I interviewed in person, every celebrity, Jim Fowler, the amazing Kreskin, Pat Carroll, and Phil Donahue are all dead now.
And there's one thing I don't miss about a few years back.
What's that?
Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity.
That's true. They were on.
Every time you go to a gas station to get gas, you know, listen to them. And is George Norrie still on?
I believe George Norrie's maybe the last stand.
Doesn't Sean Hannity still do stuff?
Yeah.
Is he still on WMRN?
I don't really listen to it. He might be. Hey, we got to go to break. We'll come back and talk more about this. Stay tuned. Okay. We're coming back.
How do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look